Chicago hard. Chicago hard. Chicago hard. Up and into them, right from the start of the game.
Gotta get them. Come on. They gotta feel them. They gotta feel them. They gotta get into them. Let's go.
The name of the game is hit the ball, catch the ball, and get the fucking job done.
Because you know why? Because when we play good, they send those guys to this table and talk to them like a hero. When we get up, I'm the one that see the here talk to you guys.
Get your mouth shut, you jerk. See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
Defensively, just by taking the ball away. We didn't take the ball away enough tonight.
Hey, we make a couple more shots. Our record's different. We get a couple more stops. Our record's different.
Welcome to the Chicago State of Mind. We are a Chicago sports podcast from the perspectives of Southside guys with an unapologetic Chicago bias. If this city could talk, it would say Chicago versus everybody.
On today's show, we are joined by Annie Costabile from the Chicago Sun-Times as we discuss the Chicago Sky's road to the WNBA draft lottery and much more. What's happening, Brian?
Hey, man, I'm just excited for this show that we got on deck for the audience. It's been a minute since we've been on here, Al. And like I told the audience the last time we were on the show, this is going to be specifically for interviews and special guests. So when you see that light come on, download this shit and listen.
Let's get into it.
Audience, as we mentioned, we are joined by our colleague, Annie Costabile from the Chicago Sun-Times. She's on the beat with us here for the Chicago Sky. And I'm telling you one thing, man, she keeps her ears to the streets. Just before she jumped on here, she's like, hey, I'm finishing up another call, so I'm going to be a little bit late. So I'm like, all right, Annie, well, let's get up in here and get it going. So how you doing? Good morning to you, Annie, and thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning, guys. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. It's been a crazy offseason, and you and I haven't had the chance to kind of catch up about this team. But just going back to free agency, was it a big surprise to you the way things kind of shook out and the way that they struck out?
I wasn't surprised at all. I think that at this point, we've seen how teams have handled free agency, and the ones who are successful are the ones who are pushing the agenda towards the future, and the Sky are still lagging far behind. So I was honestly going to be seriously surprised if they landed Skylar and NECA. That was a huge stretch for them. I think, of course, you got to try, but no, that would have been the shock to me if they actually were able to pull that off.
So we were all there at the intro press conference there, and it was good vibes when Spoon came out, Kyle was with her, Nadia was there. And for a moment there, I allowed myself to think, you know what, maybe, just maybe, you know, things may shape up for free agency. But then we see later on, they strike out a free agency, and then Kyle requests the trade, and she's gone. And that was the thing to me that was the surprise. It wasn't necessarily how they performed the free agency, but it was more of, how the hell do we get here where our star player now is like, get me out of here?
Yeah, again, I think it's the decision-making. You know, I've said, I've written, I've talked about the fact that when Candace signed here years ago, that's when they needed to be making these investments. That's when they needed to be laying the foundation for the future, and they weren't. They rode that wave of we won a championship, but they didn't accept the fact or confront the fact that you won a championship because Candace Parker happens to be from Naperville. Let's all discuss that, can we? Because if Candace Parker was from fucking Brooklyn, she would have gone to New York. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
that's right.
It had nothing to do with the Sky doing this exceptional job. And credit does belong to James Wade for sure, because she wasn't going to come here and play for some bum coach. Like,
right.
James Wade deserves his flowers for being a coach that Courtney Vandersloot said to Candace, Candace said to Courtney back in the day, like, I think you guys need this coach, James Wade. Like, they're all very connected, right? Overseas life is very connected. So James earned that acknowledgement and respect from the players he coached of wanting to be a coach that players play for. But beyond that, it wasn't, Candace didn't sign here because they had some exceptional experience to present her. She signed here because her family's still here. She signed here because she wanted to make history, and she did. And so when they went back to back in 2022, again, there was like the expectation that they could ride that wave instead of being ready for when the wave settled. You know, right. Even if Candace left, even if they were building the facility and had something set up and Candace still opted to leave, well, guess what? You're still prepared to then go after Jewel, to go after Skylar, to go after NECA, to go after Stewie, Jonquel. Like, these are all free agents that the Sky should not be literally a team that they don't even look at. They're right. Not even looking. They're like, what?
nothing to see here.
And that's ridiculous because Chicago is a market that can appeal to stars. And it unfortunately is not, because again, they just haven't been prepared. So how they handle this moment is going to really impact how the next 5 years go.
Now, what has been your initial impression of Jeff and just kind of what he walked into? Because in my opinion, I think that he took over probably one of the least desirable jobs in the WNBA as GM. What do you think of just like that immediate reaction that he just knew, like, okay, I need to reshuffle the decks here?
I think Jeff's a dog. I've known Jeff personally for years. So I have like the utmost respect for him on a personal level. And then, you know, just in working together now, in his time with the Sky, you know, I think time will tell. It's a very interesting thing when you have, like, you separate, like, again, a friend who you've known for years, and now you're working in a business kind of setting with them. And so I think regaining the draft picks was obviously a huge move. It came at a high cost. And I think that the thing that's going to benefit Jeff in this role is his experience guy, which a lot of people are like, well, wait, why is a player development guy getting promoted to a GM role? And the thing that's going to benefit him there is just his ability to scout talent. You know, he knows how to develop players. He also knows by looking at a player, he can kind of assess how they're going to develop. He's great at reading you know, players' mentality and approach to the game, and also like getting the most out of them. So I think so far, I don't want to say it's been impressive, because let's be honest, it hasn't. You traded your franchise player. Nothing's been accomplished yet, but regaining those draft picks was important, and he did that.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point, Andy. I just think that just he's put in a tough spot. But, you know, a lot of players have said very kind and glowing things about him. So that, to me, at least shows you, to the point that you were making about the relationships that he has with the players, that's going to be important. And I think as we move forward, if we can get some sort of traction with the practice facility, which I read your piece, it doesn't seem like we've made any progress there. It seems like it's been a lot of talk and no action with the franchise. And that's probably a lot of the reasons why we're seeing players not even look in our direction.
There's literally nothing here. There's never been anything here. So it's like, why would we sign here? What is there here? So I think it's more so just no action and very little talk. Like, even the talk has not been considerable. So I think, I just think, again, it goes back to how other franchises are setting the tone and the rest are trying to play catch up. And then you have the Sky, who are appearing not to do anything at all.
So Spoon, talk to us about just your impressions of her and what she's going to bring to the table for us this season.
I mean, Teresa is obviously like a legend, right? I think her energy, first of all, just speaking as a journalist, like I'm thrilled to be covering a coach like her. The dialogue that I've had from her so far, I appreciate a coach who this is one thing I appreciated about James as well, is like, good or bad, like, you know, whatever it was, there was always an ability to communicate, whether that was like a pleasant conversation or not. it still was able to be had. So I think when, as a beat writer, that's kind of like the relationship you hope to have is like, listen, I'm gonna write what I'm gonna write. And if you have a problem with it, by all means, you can voice that, but I'm still gonna do my job. Exactly. And so I've definitely gotten that sense from her too. There's not been any kind of energy of like, oh, you're being unfair or whatever. Like it's so I appreciate that about her. But just as far as a coach goes, you know, the job she has to do, this is like a tall task, right? She's coming in at a transitional time. The championship is years in the rear view. She has no quote unquote franchise star at the moment. And she's going to have to get the most out of a group of role players, essentially. And she can do that. She also can turn multiple. There's more than one of these role players who have, again, been role players in the past. That's not to say that they will be this year, that she can take a player and make them into a franchise star. And someone specifically is Dana Evans. Like I am excited to see how Dana Evans responds to having a coach like Teresa Weatherspoon, because Dana's always been a dog. And so I think playing for a coach who kind of, at least from what she's said so far, is going to pull that out of her players, I think that's going to be really exciting to see. And then also you just think about Teresa's defensive history in this league, and that's Dana's bread and butter. Like, she's one of the best young two-way point guards. I guess I should, best is like a really, I'm trying to watch my language and not sensationalize things. So I should say Dana has the potential to be one of the best two-way guards in this league. If she's given the opportunity to actually kind of prove that with the minutes that she should get this year.
I mean, we thought that was going to happen last year. I mean, I was there with you and James, and we were watching her, how she put on the muscle and how just she was just shredded people in training camp. And then when the season came, I'm like, same story. She's not getting any playing time.
We're finally, you got to think about like, what's that? James brought people in and made promises to them when he did as GM. And that's why, and I don't think you should shake your head, because that's what the sky asked of him. They asked him to be and GM. They put him in that role. So he did what was necessary to try and be successful in that role. I'm not saying he made great decisions.
I've
written all about it. I don't think those decisions were the best decisions, but he made decisions as a GM that then he had to act upon as a coach. Right. And one of those was bringing in Marina Mabry. Well, you bring in Marina Mabry, who scores at the clip she does. What are you going to do? Have her come off the bench? No, that's not what you traded her for her to do. You shouldn't have made that trade. That was the issue. And then, yeah, Dana gets her moment. But you make that trade. Well, you got to live up to the trade. You don't trade away a bag full of draft picks to have that player you traded for sit on the bench. Come on.
You make it even worse. I get you. But no, I think this is the year that Dana like shows just wish. I mean, look at the way she's been playing overseas. I mean, that hasn't been a surprise to any of us that's been covering her for the last couple of years. I mean, she looks really good. I can't wait to see her in training camp. Any other players on the current roster that you're kind of looking at and seeing that they could potentially take a next step? So Dana, obviously, that's one that comes first, top of mind. But anybody else in this roster that you see that will benefit from the coaching change?
I think they really all have a huge potential to take a big step. I think Anyanwere is someone who I'm really excited to see how she develops, because I think a lot of people get lost on the fact that she's still so young. I think because of the moves that have happened over the last few years, it's like aged her in some way, or people have kind of like forgotten how impactful she's been in this league in her rookie year and the seasons that followed. So I think that's someone I'm really excited to see how she develops in Chicago. And then honestly, Diamond, I think this is going to be a really great season in terms of, or you hope it's a great season as a fan, I know the fans, excuse me, are hoping that it's a great season for her because of how the past few years have went, right? And losing a player like Kalia and then getting Diamond back is almost somewhat of a like a comforting thought, I think, for fans. But, you know, Diamond, it has been through a lot. So I'm excited to see her come out and honestly, like, enjoy herself playing again. I think that's like, that's going to be the most fun to see. Obviously, in terms of success, you need her to like have a great year, but as a human, success aside, it's just exciting to see her back in Chicago and have the potential to, you know, be an impactful player again.
And to your point, seeing her smiling, you know, like that is like you said, she's been through a lot of stuff. So it's just, it was good to see her when she had media availability with us just up there, just in that moment. It was great to see her back. So I agree. When you looked at free agency, Courtney leaving and Alana leaving, like when you just saw just like that revolving door that was like starting to develop there, what were just some of your thoughts about the losses that the roster took? You know, obviously we're all going to talk about Ka, but what about some of those role players that I thought were really successful in us making the playoffs last year?
Yeah, so that was honestly a casualty of the Sky swinging at Skylar and NECA. So when you make those decisions to go after players like that, you are doing so under the assumption that players like Courtney and Alana are not going to come back. So like you have to, again, as a GM, you're juggling, right? Like, and your right hand is this attempt to go after these two players who are going to be your stars, your starters, if signed. And then you have these two other players who, if you aren't able to sign them, you want to get them, but you also, they're unrestricted. They could go do what they want. And if they know you're going after over here, well, they know that their spot isn't secure with you. So if they can go secure something somewhere else, they're going to do that. And that's what we saw happen. Right. And so for Courtney, having the year she had as a point guard last year, I mean, she showed a really different side of her game and Minnesota valued that. Minnesota saw that and went after it. Same with Alana. So I think that that was just more so a casualty of the attempt to go after Skylar and NECA.
Yeah, the Minnesota Sky, they're going to be pretty impressed with the watch. They even picked up Kayana, our draft pick from last year as well. It's going to be interesting to see what they do over there. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of shift over to the draft. So you talked about the trades we made, and Jeff, I thought, did a really good job of getting us into the lottery. So we have picks at 3 and at 8. So at 3, Rekia Jackson is the name that's basically being populated on most WNBA drafts, mock drafts. What are you kind of thinking as far as an option or a couple options there at 3 for the Sky?
I honestly think it's not going to be Rekia. I think that the Sky are going to take Camila Cardoso with that pick if she's available. And I think if Camila goes number 2, to LA, I think they're going to take Cam Brink. I think with Rekia, you want Rekia, obviously, but with those two bigs, Cam and Camila, they're like, Rekia is going to be a star in this league. That's not to say she's not going to be a star. She's going to be a star in this league. And it's almost like kills you because she's going to develop and she's going to be, you know, one of those transformational wing players that every team needs. Every championship team needs a player like Rekia Jackson. But when you look at Cam and when you look at Camila, those are two players that do not like come around very often. And that's not, again, to say that players like Rekia are a dime a dozen. It's just bigs like that, especially Camila, they're not, you know, they're not in every draft class. They're not coming around every year. So to have an opportunity to bring in a player like Cam, who's essentially kind of like a baby Stewie, and then you have a player like Camila, who is just a force, like 6'7", who can run the floor. Like, she's not a big who stays, you know, posted up and can't move. Like, she can. Did you see her out sprinting against Iowa?
Oh, yeah.
So I think that, again, when you think about those two things and think about who they're going to need to go up against, you need players like that, because E Will's great and she's going to continue to be great, but also her impact on the development of those two players is going to be huge too. So yeah, I unfortunately don't see Rekia being taken with that number three pick. Again, who am I? I could be totally wrong. But yeah, I see that number three pick going to one of those two bigs.
No, and that's my thing. Like, that's why I wanted to get your spin on it too, because I mean, you cover just as close as these people from these other four letter, you know, outlets and things of that nature. So I just was curious what you thought. And then we have the pick at eight, and I've seen Angel Reese's name pop up there. But if we go bigs at three, then it kind of opens up that draft spot to go maybe to maybe some sort of a wing player. What are you thinking there at eight?
I think at eight, you're going with the best available at that point, right? And the thing about Angel is she could still be available at eight. And again, in conversations I've had with sources in this league, the thought about Angel is she has developing to do, but she is a high energy player. She's a player that, you know, is giving everything. And so the rest you can work with, like her finishing, you can attempt to improve, like these other things that she's going to have to improve in order to hang around with WNBA talent. You would assume like you're going to be able to develop those things. What's intangible is again, that hustle that she has, that energy that she brings to the game. So I think if she's available at eight, you could definitely, you know, expect, or I shouldn't say expect, if she's available at eight, I don't think it would be a far off thought to see this guy draft her.
That would definitely put some butts in seats. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, you know, like when you're again, picking at, when you've got a pick like number eight, and a player like Angel's available, all of those things come into consideration. Like Angel's a transformative player. And the thing you want to see is her game develop to translate to the WNBA. But regardless, her impact is going to be felt off the court for sure.
Now, I didn't ask you this earlier in the conversation, but Caitlin Clark and just how she just basically, you know, put college basketball on her back for the last couple of years. Can you just kind of just put into words, you know, what you think she's going to bring to the W? Just because I just think this is going to be really transformative for the league itself to have the eyeballs that are going to follow her from college to the W.
Yeah, you know, the comparisons I keep seeing being made are like the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson comparison, which I love, right? But like Larry and Magic were number one and number two player in the country, like in college basketball at the time, or not 1A and 1B, right? Like
right.
Angel and Caitlin are not that. And that's not because Angel, like Caitlin's the best player in the country and Angel's so far behind her. They're completely different players. So you're not going to be able to compare them as far as like their talent goes that way. As far as their impact goes, I would argue in some ways Angel is, I mean, maybe people will drag me for saying that, but like, I would argue, yeah, in a lot of ways, like Angel's the more the 1A and Caitlin's 1B as far as attracting attention. You could argue it either way. Caitlin for sure has transformed the game and brought unprecedented attention to the game, but Angel has as well. I think Caitlin's the differences that maybe makes Caitlin 1A in this argument is again the record she's broken. She broke 45 records across the NCAA, the tournament, and Big Ten play in her 4 years at Iowa. Like, that's insane. So yeah. Sure. Let's call Caitlin the GOAT. I mean, I'll say that. I wrote a column the other day saying that. But I think that the combination of, like, the energy, the competition that's gone on this year, like, that's all going to carry over to the WNBA. And so that's why I don't so much see it as, like, the comparison of Larry and Magic is relevant. But this is different in a sense of, it's not just about two players. It's about two players and then all of the drama that's kind of like trickled down as a result, right? Like, like how about Raven and SC going on this like revenge tour? And then you have people getting offended by that. And then some people love it. It's like all of that is great for the game. And it's something that like I get really passionate about is like, let women say trash things, you know, like let women talk shit, let women show all of these different sides, like let the game, let that exist. Like these aren't terrible things to say. And competition brings out really intense sides of all of us. Like let that exist for the game. And when we do, you see all the ways that it impacts it positively. Like I think something that kind of like gets lost on a lot of people, especially like when you go on Twitter, right? You see all of these crazy things of like these really intense takes and people disagreeing. And I think what people forget is like, we don't have to agree. And we also are not all going to agree. And if you think something that I don't agree with, I can still exist over here in with my opinion, you know?
That's right.
The shameful thing is when you say something that I don't agree with and then I'm going to switch sides? Like, no, that's
no,
like we all can exist with our own ideas and our own takes and our own opinions. And as long as I think obviously respect is given, that's the most respect, care, compassion, love. Like those are obviously things that I don't ever switch up on. But I think, yeah, the idea that you're going to get on your phone and convince somebody to with you is like, can we all get off it? It's like, shut up. You're wasting your own energy.
Facts. They don't even, I mean, that's even the stuff that we see in this town with the Justin Fields and Caleb Williams stuff, which Al and I have to deal with on our Bears show. And I'm like, it's just exhausting at the end of the day. So I'm glad you brought that point up because, dude, people on the internet, sometimes I just wish they just go outside, touch green grass, and just live a little bit because this shit is exhausting. It gets old.
Yeah, and it's also like when people do have foul takes, like when people do say really cruel things, let them say them. Let them make fools of themselves. Let them look like hateful people. You know, like you're especially not going to change those minds. You know what I'm saying? And again, I say that as someone who does not back down from standing up for very important, like, you know, critically important things. But I'm just saying, when it comes to like these hot takes that are like God, things I've seen about Caitlin is like, just like really idiotic things of like, she's overrated.
Those are the best ones.
She would never make it if she played at UConn or SC.
Yeah.
She's only this good because she went to Iowa. Like things that
her teammates aren't good and that's why she looks good. It's just some dumb stuff. That's
like,
out there.
Are you okay? Like, this might be personal for you. You might just personally not like Caitlin, and that's okay. But your takes are coming off real stupid as a result. It's like people who don't like Dawn, which are few and fucking far between, excuse me, but like I honestly don't even know if I have an example for Dawn, but like I've seen something of people saying Dawn's not an X's and O's coach. You're dumb.
Yeah.
You're dumb.
Yeah, seriously. And where do they
her team 38? No, but she's not an X's and O's coach.
Right. But when people say that though, Andy, are you in the fucking huddle? What do you know that she's drawn up ATO-wise? You don't know what you're talking about. So it's the casuals.
It's people that get really passionate about their team and they get offended or take it personal or are like really bent out of shape by something someone else. It's not even the casuals. I see diehard fans go at Caitlin, go at LSU, go at South Carolina in really wild ways. And I log on and I'm like, wait. That's what you're putting out for everybody to see. Yeah, okay,
like that's what you want.
I'm gonna let you have that over there. I'm gonna log out and I'm gonna get back to business.
But what about those stars who are speaking out on Caitlin Clark, like Dina Taurasi, and they talk about how rings are important? So give me your thoughts on that, Annie.
You know, I think there's no ignoring the fact that rings are important, and there's going to be a lot of people that say Caitlin cannot be considered the GOAT because she doesn't have a ring. And this was like the column I wrote, right? So in my opinion, something that has to, so the GOAT conversation is entirely subjective. Even True. When you have players like LeBron James and Michael Jordan, you're never, there's never, God is never going to come down and be like, this is the GOAT. This is him. This is her. You're never going to have like a black and white answer. So let's have fun with the discussion, right? So in my opinion, when having this discussion, specifically as it pertains to the women's game, your supporting cast needs to be discussed. And so when you look at what Stewie said and what some of these other players said, totally valid. I think they're entitled to that opinion. And I think especially coming from them, it means something. You know, I agree with them to a degree. But then when you're having this discussion, again, something that needs to be considered is the supporting cast. When Stewie won 4 titles 4 years in a row, she did so as one of 8 WNBA players on UConn's roster. There were 7 other WNBA caliber players on UConn's roster her entire 4 years. She never was like the lone star ever. When you think about South Carolina, like I think Dawn, there was a quote or a story, something I read, saw about how Dawn, part of her recruiting is telling players like, you're not coming to South Carolina to be an individual star. That's not going to happen here. We're all going to eat, right? Well, at Iowa, Lisa getting Caitlin was a major step because, I mean, she's had stars in the past. I don't mean this like disrespectfully, but Caitlin was one of one, you know, she was one of one. And so when you bring her in, that she's made her supporting cast better. And this is not a knock to like Kate Martin, Gabby Marshall, Hannah Stolke. Like these are great players, but they're not 5 stars, you know? And so I think the fact that Caitlin and company got to the title game 2 years in a row, I think when you look at that LSU game specifically this year, and the way that that team went off, like Caitlin Shore had 41 and 12, but the entire team was clicking in such a perfect way. If they play like that against South Carolina, they maybe win, right? But like Iowa had to collectively be perfect. And that is a lot, Like one player. And again, you see the way Raven had Caitlin.
She clapped her up.
Right. It's like Caitlin wasn't going to win that game. And so I think that coupled with the fact that she didn't win a title, but you couple it with all the records she's broken, I think earns her the right to be discussed as a GOAT. And you're going to find a lot of people who are willing to call her the GOAT. And you're never, ever going to have a clear answer on who the GOAT actually is.
Well, I tell you one thing. I look forward to seeing all the craziness that enters the WNBA, starting at the draft and the fever. I mean, you think about it, right? Aaliyah Boston's already there. She's got to be excited as hell. First of all, she was covering the event for ESPN, and then a week from now, she's going to be teammates with Caitlin Clark. That's got to be freaking sick for her. But I just can't wait for it all to just unfold. And I'll be sitting here because the attention that's on women's sports, and it's very important. Alan and I, with our platform, we wanted to make sure not only just at the WNBA level, but high school level, college level, we cover all of this stuff. So it's very important for us to see the eyeballs that is on the sport. And I'm very, very happy that now it can reach a national level, because there were so many people when we started covering the W, they were like, why? Don't you guys cover the Bulls? And it's like, yeah, but don't they deserve coverage just as much as the Bulls do? In fact, I think more than the Bulls. So I'm just looking forward to the ride.
Yeah, I want to like go a step further though and say that we're all just doing our job. It's intelligent. It's a smart decision to cover women's sports. Once we show up there, the coaches, the athletes don't owe us anything beyond what's, you know, contractually part of their, you know, CBA as far as working with the media. And that's something I think we need to get away from too, is that like women, they're so thankful that we're there. They're so happy for the opportunity. It's like, we should have been there. We should have been there. We should have been doing this. And they don't owe us smiles and thank yous and pleasantries. That's why too, like last year, even some of the conversations like I had with players and it not being the smoothest ride, it's like, you guys don't need to be nice to me.
Sure.
You don't need to like me at all. You don't have to say a word to me beyond us working together in this space. So I think I'm excited to see the way that the women's game is continued to be treated fairly and equitably. Like, that's the biggest thing for me.
No, I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it. You're going to be at the event next week?
You know what? I'm still figuring that out, whether I'll be in New York or at the event, but, I'm hoping, you know, either way. Well, I'm not hoping. I should say either way, great coverage is coming.
Yeah, we're trying to figure that out as well, too. But yeah, so I'll be in touch with you and see. But before you get out of here, tell the audience how they can find you on social and plug, you know, any sort of work that you got coming up.
Yeah, I'm, you know, just my name, at Annie Costable on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm out here creating these TikToks. and then you guys can read all of our coverage at the Chicago Sun-Times. I've got a lot of draft stuff coming up this weekend in preparation of the draft on April 15th. I was about to say May 15th. So yeah, just head over to the Sun-Times and be sure to subscribe. You know, something I do want to say is people get confused about how our subscriptions work. It's completely free. All you need to do is provide your email. And by doing so, you're just letting us know that you're a subscriber. You can immediately after subscribing with your email, send all of the emails, you know, we send to you to your junk mail, but you signing up really lets us know, you know, that our coverage is important and that you're here and reading it and you keep us afloat. Specifically, if you're signing up for our women's sports coverage, you know, make sure that's known, because it's things like that that'll keep local news around.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you see a lot of this, the cuts of things that are happening in the space right now, is very important. So audience, take her up on that. Take that extra step. It ain't gonna hurt you. You know, you got plenty of spam shit in their inboxes anyway, so you'll be all right.
Yeah, just hit junk mail. Like, just literally select sending all of our emails to junk mail. We won't be offended. It's your subscription that'll mean the most.
There you go. Well, Annie, thank you so much for jumping on with us, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Yeah, I'll see you guys soon.
All right, now. Take care.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yep.
Thanks Sorry for having about us changing on. The time. I appreciate it.
We roll with the punches. It's all good.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to
right.
you soon.
All right. Take care. All right, bye. Bye. All right, Al. Annie had a lot to say there.
Woo-wee, she came with a lot, bro. She brought it today, man. Had a lot to say about the WNBA, about the Sky, even about college basketball. So I love what she brought to the table.
The one thing you're going to get from her, and the audience, you guys already know probably from reading her articles, she ain't going to back down no matter who it is. She goes with it. So I learned that about her like the first week covering the Sky. I'm like, man, she's got a strong personality. But I love that, though. I do. I really do. And she's right. You know, the women, they don't owe us anything, but I still take pride in the fact of the impact that I feel like that we are helping to make in the sport, Al, with just getting eyeballs and getting attention to the work that we're doing, whether it's high school, whether it's college. So I still do think that it's important for us to tell these stories, because if they're not being told, then how do people ever know?
Right. Exactly, bro. And I think, honestly, that's probably the one thing that the young ladies may appreciate, especially in the high school level, bro, when they get that kind of exposure and coverage from you and I and many others who are there to support them. But you're right, man. The more eyes are on them, the more exposure they get, the more this thing can continue to grow. And I'm happy for where women's basketball is going right now, man. They got the game in their hands right now. So I love what we're seeing these days.
Oh, man, yeah, they got next. You know, people used to joke around about that, but they really do got next. I mean, you had almost 19 million people to watch their title game. I didn't even watch the UConn game. Let me tell y'all, I did not watch that game because I knew UConn was going to win.
True.
I watched that game on Sunday.
Hey, heck yeah, man. I could not miss that, man. South Carolina against Iowa, bro. That was huge, man.
Last thing before we get out of here. So Annie talked about Dawn Staley, and I just don't think that Dawn Staley, in my opinion, I don't think she gets the flowers that she deserves and the credit that she deserves. This True. Is now championship number 3 for Dawn. And you see how she does it, right? And she is one of those people that she's not about one particular player like Annie mentioned. It's about the collective. It's about the team.
Right.
But she does a really good job with keeping her team locked in at all times. Like when they advanced to the Final Four, you saw them. They were all celebrating and jumping around. And what she do? She reminded them the job's not finished.
Absolutely, bro. She keeps them on par, man. And this is part of the reason you talk about a team going undefeated is that they're disciplined. And that starts with the head coach.
And salute to women's sports. Salute to the Chicago Sky, because I think it's going to be a new era of Chicago Sky basketball. I know this fan base is disappointed by how things went, but Andy was totally correct. They got comfortable when Candace came here. We won the championship. They put their feet up. They thought the job was done. That's when the job should have been just started, to Andy's point. Right. And they didn't do anything. And in my opinion, I still think it's been more talk, right? They'll tell us, oh, you know, we're in talks and we're planning to do this with the facility. Nothing's come of it. These players should not have to commute all the way from Deerfield to Chicago. I'm sorry. Right. I'm not trying to sound lazy or anything like that, but in Chicago traffic, that's just not convenient, man.
Not at all, bro. You talk about doing the right thing for the players. I think they really, really need to look at that situation, man, and do something about that for sure.
That's one piece of it. You need to have the training facilities. Look at what Seattle did and the investment that they made in their franchise, the Las Vegas Aces. Yeah. When you look at teams that are making those investments, where do you think players want to play? You don't think the players talk?
Of course. They want to know everything, man, about the team, about the environment, et cetera, bro. That's all that is part of the experience as a player. If you're lacking on that, man, they're going to go where they can get what they need.
No, they definitely will. But listen, man, we're going to get up out of here for now. But audience, we're going to come back to this show when we have special guests, right? Because Al and I, we do more live hits with this thing, whether it's over TikTok, whether it's over Instagram. But when we have like some really special guests, and when you see that fucking episode pop up, you know you got a hot one coming in. So you better make sure you subscribe, better make sure you share it, and make sure you listen to that shit. Because like I said, we had a good one today, and we got more on deck for you all as the summer proceeds.
Man, I'm so looking forward to this season with the Sky, bro. I'm with you, man. And hey, I'm just looking forward to the special guests that we bring on this show, brother.
Yes, sir.
Michael Jordan was, he never asked me to do something that he didn't fucking do.
I'm only doing it because it is who I am. That's how I played the game. That was my mentality. If you don't want to play that way, don't play that way.